in this battle of life. It's hard to keep your head.
My guest today is Alison Escalante. Welcome to Solomon's Talk, Alison.
Well, thank you so much for having me on.
Yes, of course. All right, so before we get into what you do, could you tell us, who is Alison Escalante?
Well, let's see. That's a broad question, right? I'm a mom. I'm a lover of dogs. I'm a pediatrician. I'm a lover of books, and before I became a pediatrician, I studied the history of ideas and culture. So how like an idea can move through a culture and change the way people behave. And that all connects because I've spent the last 15 years on a mission to see what I could do to help with all of the epidemic of parental and child anxiety that we're seeing.
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you for just sharing a little about yourself to us. So tell me, what do you do for your clients? Usually I leave this question till later, but I want you to tell us, I'm a solo mom. What with children, obviously, what can you do for me as a parent?
That is a great question. So there is, I believe, no parent who feels the pressure of our current parenting culture more than solo moms. Mm-hmm. So I call our culture of parenting the should storm. It's a storm of shoulds. You should do this. You should do that. You should never do that other thing. If you make the slightest mistake, you're going to mess up your child for life. It's a culture of anxiety and criticism, and it pushes perfectionistic parenting. Yeah. And to add to that, the treatment that solo moms have suffered for, centuries. I mean, it's just brutal on a solo mom. And so I can't change society. I wish I could. I can't change political policies. And so I'm in America where like we don't get decent parental leave, or sick leave. Parents are really struggling with that and they need policy change, right? And I can't fix that. I can advocate for it, but it's not going to be fixed tomorrow. So what I can help parents with right now in this moment is at least a way to reconnect with our kids and find more joy and confidence in parenting instead of being driven by the worry and anxiety that our parenting culture puts us in.
Yes. All right. Okay. Thank you. And you bring to mind a guest we had a while ago who talked about how to parent from a place of love instead of a place of fear. And in your story, in your description of what you do, it seems like you're saying how to parent from a place that's not of anxiety, of anxiousness, of fear, really, right?
That's right. I mean, in many ways, the parenting that I teach is actually, it's scientifically based. And, when we talk about the three-step method I offer, you'll see that. But what it really does is take us to a place of grace and compassion. So it's really a kind of grace-based parenting for ourselves and our kids.
Okay, got it. And are you able to share briefly those three steps with us?
So if you grew up in the U.S., your kindergarten teacher would have taught you what to do if your clothing caught on fire. And that was to stop, drop, and roll. So I say, hey, if your emotions are on fire from the should storm, sigh, see, and start.
Mm.
So first, you sigh. And sigh is built into our body. We normally sigh several times throughout the day. Parents tell me this is easy to remember. They say, Doc, I sigh at my kids all the time anyway. That's perfect. And what a sigh is it starts with a deep breath in, yes. But the key is that we breathe out long and slow with a sigh. Mm-hmm. And this is very important because the long, slow out breath sends a message to our nervous system that you're okay, you're safe. So the parenting anxiety puts our nervous system into what we call the fight or flight response. Mm-hmm. And when that response is on, our body is ready to deal with like a lion, right? So we're ready to run away from the lion or we're ready to fight the lion.
Yeah.
But what we're not, right? And I mean, it's funny to describe our kids that way, but boy, sometimes it kind of feels that way. And, you know, I mean, when we're in the fight or flight response, our brain does something very interesting. The parts of our brain that allow us to think wisely, the higher levels that are located in what we call the prefrontal cortex, those get shut off because you don't need to think like that when you're dealing with a lion. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that gets shut off is our social centers. We're not really able to connect, to express love, or to experience empathy if we are in fight or flight. So it's very important as a parent to move out of that, because otherwise we're not going to be able to show up with all the skills that our kids need from us as a parent. And so sighing, very simply, starts to turn on the social nervous system, turn our higher thinking back on. And some people say, well, I don't know that one sigh always does it. And I say, well, that's great, because when I'm worked up, I sigh three times in a row. And I find that when I do that, I really feel my shoulders relax. I feel like I'm coming into my body. And you'll just feel that difference.
Okay.
So after we sigh, then we see. See your child. See the situation. See their body language. Notice what's going on. Do you have a child with sensory sensitivities and there's loud construction equipment going on right outside the window? Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why your child is acting up, because, you know, they're very irritated by that. C is your moment of mindfulness. You know, a lot of mindfulness advocates tell us that we need to meditate for an hour a day or do yoga for an hour a day. And if you have that luxury, that's fantastic. But I don't know a lot of parents that do. And the science has also taught us that even brief moments of mindfulness, even that last like a few seconds, are actually incredibly powerful. So we see, we notice, we observe without immediately trying to jump in and fix it. Because when we're just jumping in to be a parent, we're usually reacting to the shoulds in our head. And instead, we want to be making sure that we're responding to the child in front of us. So that's what's so powerful about these brief moments of mindfulness.
Okay.
And then once you've done your sigh and your see, now you start. And this is where the sigh, see, start parenting method is actually starting to be very different from other parenting methods. Lots of parenting methods mention taking a deep breath, pausing, mindfulness, and I agree with all of that. But then what do we do with that information? Do we still try to be perfect parents and then have all this stress about getting it right all the time? Well, with start, we take that more connected version of ourselves, and then we make a choice about what to do next. So maybe I start by thinking about what to do differently here. Maybe I start by remembering that thing I read in that parenting article that actually seems useful in this situation, and I try it out. Maybe I start by doing nothing. I tend to be reactive as a mother, and so I find that doing nothing often gives my kids enough time and space to actually solve things for themselves. And it's been amazing what they come up with when I'm not all over them. Or maybe I start something and maybe that something works. And I say, great, I've learned something. I'm going to file that away. I'm gaining confidence. I'm gaining information. I'm gaining knowledge about what works with my child on this moment, on this day. And then maybe I start something and it backfires. It doesn't work. Well, in that case, I might feel a should. Oh, I should have done it differently. Mm. I'm really messing this up. I'm a bad mother. I can't get anything right. But we know what to do if we feel the should storm in our heads. We sigh, see, and start again. So with this continuous cycle of calm, presence, mindfulness, and then running an experiment, parents tell me that they gain confidence very quickly. You know, it changes your relationship with perfect, with mistakes, because now a mistake is not a crisis. A mistake is just part of learning, right? And not only is this important for us as parents, but it's really important for our kids, because our kids are hearing the same perfectionistic messages, not just from us, but from the world around them. And if we can show up for them and say, look, buddy, you know what? I'm sorry that didn't work out best for us. We're going to try something else. I'm learning and growing right along with you. Well, that gives our kids space to approach their life like that. And that's precisely what kids need most.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the three-step method, because as a solo mom myself, I raised three sons. They're adults now. I could see where the sighing would help to relieve some of that tension that we feel in that situation. But unfortunately, instead of doing the see, we actually go to the shoulds, right? We go, oh, I should have done this or I should have done that. And we beat up on ourselves. So I like this framework because I think it would help us to better manage and handle what we're going through, right?
I couldn't agree with you more. And that's why my book focuses on parents. I also share a lot of stories for kids about what it's like for them in the should storm. And I share lots of stories of parents working through using SciCStart and how it works for them and their kids and what doesn't work. But that's it, is that if we don't look, you know, as a pediatrician, I was trained to look first at the child. But I quickly learned that if we're not first supporting the parent instead of criticizing the parent or giving them a list of shoulds that they can't live up to, then we're not going to get anywhere.
Yeah. Yes, for sure. So, okay. So now tell us about the book and anything you can share with us, how we can get in touch with you, stuff like that.
Oh, sure. The name of the book is SciCStart, How to Be the Parent Your Child Needs in a World That Won't Stop Pushing. It's available in the U.S. wherever books are sold, and it's available on Amazon, so international readers can get it there. And the best way to find me is actually my website, which is SciCStart.com. That connects with all my social media and offers a lot of resources for parents.
Okay. All right. So what is Allison grateful for today?
I am grateful that I was able to get my son out the door to school this morning and that the birds are singing today outside my window.
Awesome. Thank you. And are you a solo mom? I don't remember if I asked you that.
I am not a solo mom.
Okay.
But as a pediatrician, I have had the honor of serving so many families with solo moms, and it's why I feel passionate that I feel like a lot of the parenting advice and the parenting books just ignore solo moms and ignore the unique struggles that they have and the unique courage and resilience they show, right?
Yeah.
So much resilience, so much love. And so, you know, that's why I'm here today, because solo moms really matter and they shouldn't be left out.
Yes. Yeah. And I appreciate you being here. And I think that stems from the longstanding atypical, you know, description of a single mom. And people forget that people are women, maybe mothering solo because they lost their husband in one way, shape or form. And so I appreciate a doctor like yourself who would come and in defense, you know, of solo moms. So thank you. I appreciate you. So before I let you go, could you please give a solo mom any piece of advice as it's around not listening to the outside voices as much as they listen to their internal voices?
You know, I think women in general have always been taught not to trust themselves, always to defer to the outside voices. Women have for centuries been told that parenting is something that they are not really competent to do, but at the same time, they're also fully responsible for anything that happens to their child, even if it's not their fault. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's true for all women. I think with solo moms, it just becomes that much more intense because it's really on you. And I just want to say that that's not the truth. It's never been the truth. You are doing better than you think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this method, believe it or not, because I believe in change through, yes, it's important for us to have insights. It's important to understand, hey, this is what you're being told by a culture. This is not necessarily the truth. It's just what our culture says. But that's not enough to free us. We make the most effective change if we have something we can do. And then that action also changes the way we think. And that's what Sci-C Start is. And one of the things that the method does with repeated use, people that really do it for a while tell me that they also feel greater self-compassion. And that's what I want for you, solo moms, is to just know that you are doing better than you think, that sometimes, you know, if you have to work two or three jobs and you just don't have a lot of bandwidth, that's okay, mama. You just keep going. You're providing for your family. And just know that if you could see yourself through the eyes of a friend who cares about you and looks at you, you would see how lovely, radiant, and powerful you really are.
Mm. Wow. Thank you very much, Alison Escalante, for coming and talking to us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on.
Yes, for sure. Any parting shots? I'll give you one more chance to just say what's on your mind. Feel free.
Oh, absolutely. Whenever you feel a should, sigh, see, and start.
Awesome. Thank you.